Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, of course, being part of the Sermon on the Mount, which is the central core teachings from Jesus of how we should live. We're wrapping up today this series on getting a spiritual tune-up and using the metaphor of a car or a vehicle of some kind in pursuing this idea. The passage says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray together for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, to gather together, to sing your praises, to lift up prayers to you, to enjoy fellowship and communion with one another in your house. And as we turn to your word together, let our worship be a worship of seeking your face and your will for our lives, knowing that your way is the best way, setting our own agendas and our own things aside so that we can look into your face, so that we can hear your voice, so we can be illuminated by your light, and we can go down your path for our lives. This is our heart and our hope and our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we come to the end of this spiritual tune-up series, and you know, we've looked at a number of things over the weeks. The first week we looked at alignment, the necessity of getting our lives in alignment with God's will for our lives. We can't allow ourselves to be in a situation where we are pulled to the left or to the right, but we need to set our lives up, set our goals up, set ourselves up so that we are moving right straight down God's road for our lives. And we looked at steering, how, at least the way I understand the Word of God, our hands are on the steering wheel of our lives. We're the ones who make the decisions, but Jesus is ready to guide us. He is ready to show us the way. He is ready to provide the next stage on the map in the journey of our lives. Then Matthew last week brought brakes up as a thing for us to consider, to look at. The fact of the matter that we need to every now and then identify things in our lives that need to stop, things that are ungodly, or even if they're not ungodly, they're not part of God's perfect will for our lives. And those things need to stop because they're not part of God's plan for us. We've got to put the brakes on sometimes. Some of you have gotten so wrapped up in this series that you have come forward and given us suggestions about how to continue it on. And I've really appreciated that. Two of my favorites that have been suggested are, we need to do one on accelerators, someone said, because way too many folks who are of the Christian faith are just sitting still on the side of the road, or they're on the slow path. They're following that non-biblical philosophy of slow and steady wins the race. That's one of Aesop's fables, by the way. That's not in the Word of God. We don't want to run ahead of God's will, but I think that very often we may be more guilty of lagging behind God's will for our lives. And so that was a suggestion. I wish we had time to do that. But the one that really kind of got me going and made me wish that we had time to do it, someone said, well, you know, we need to do one on the air conditioning. And my friend was saying, because, you know, my air conditioning broke down, and let me tell you, it's just miserable when that's not working right. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, y'all probably don't want me to do one on air conditioning, because, you know, that's really all about comfort. Does anybody remember back when no cars had air conditioners? This picture right here, we're identifying ourselves, aren't we? We are of a certain age. But in this picture right here, that is a retrofit air conditioner in that car. I remember riding in some cars that had those in. They put refrigeration units in as a an add-on later on. And no cars, back when I was a boy, had air conditioning. You know, where I would have to go with a sermon like that is that sometimes I think that God's people get way too concerned for our comfort rather than pursuing God's will. We get all wrapped up if something is going on in our lives that makes us uncomfortable or makes us suffer or makes us hurt. And the fact of the matter is, biblically speaking, that God never promises that we're always going to be comfortable, that things are always going to be our way, that we'll never sweat in the summer or shiver in the winter. The fact of the matter is that Jesus himself said that we will have hard times. The road that God takes us on has bumps and pitfalls and sorrows. And the challenge is to shine God's light and stay right in the middle of his path, even when the road gets hard. But we don't have time for that, because we're going to move on. See, next week is the Sunday right before July 4th, Independence Day. And so we've got to start a new series on freedom. What does the Bible have to say about the gift of freedom? Where does that gift come from? What does it mean? What are the boundaries of freedom? Is freedom free? I think you know the answer to that one. We're going to start there next week. But we got one more to do this week, and that is lights. Following the metaphor of the vehicle, mostly cars that we've looked at, you know, the lighting system in your vehicle, in your car, or even if it's a boat or anything else, the lighting system is very important. And when we think of the lighting system, of course, we think of the headlights. Let's end up there rather than starting there, because, you know, the lighting system is more than just the headlights. You've got, for instance, the brake lights. Have you ever been following a car and discover in a very scary way that their brake lights don't work? Because suddenly they slow down and you have no signal that that's going on. And suddenly you're way up close and personal with their tailpipe. If your brake lights aren't working, you're putting yourself and other people in danger. That lighting system needs to work. Turn signals are important. And I know the whole thing about sticking your arm out the window and all that sort of thing, but nobody pays attention to that these days, seems like to me. You know, the really, really old cars used to have flags that would drop down before there was electricity readily available. But if the turn signals don't work, your intentions are not clear to the other cars on the road. You might decide you need to make a left turn, which in our country means that you're turning across the face of traffic. If someone does not see that left turn signal from you, they may not make allowances for you making that turn. Disastrous things could happen if those lights are not working. Others need to see who you are and what your intentions are. If your panel lights don't work, you might think, well, that's something that you could do without, you know, those lights on the front dashboard. After all, there are some people in this room that never pay any mind to the lights or the meters or the needles on your dashboard. I know this because I share the road with some of you. There's this wavy needle called the speedometer that there's some folks that need to pay attention to. And at nighttime, of course, if the panel lights don't work, you can't see it. And then there's those lights that come on if there's trouble in the inside of your car. Like the check engine light, that yellow one. I know some people that when the check engine light comes on, they take a piece of black electrical tape and put it over the check engine light. Bad idea. That light comes on because there is a problem that is cropped up. If you don't deal with that problem, you might just destroy the engine of your car. Same thing goes with that little needle that talks about the cooling system of your engine. You know, some people never look at it, and it's sitting there in red, and the whole thing's about to blow up. It's there for a purpose. If all of those things aren't working, there's a problem. Interior lights. You might think, well, if there's one light we can do without, it's the dome light. You know, that light that comes on when you open the door? But have you ever had that light out, and it's the middle of the night, and it's a moonless night, and it's just totally dark, and you need to find something in your car? you open the door and nothing happens and you are just in pitch black darkness? What if what you need is directions on how to get to where you need to go? There's no optional lights in the modern day car. Well, let's move on to the headlights. That's the ones that people think about because those are the brightest lights, right? I used to, when I was a small boy and we lived in Amityville on Long Island in New York, I used to be able to sit with my brother at the front window of our house and watch for our father to come home. He drove a 1950s Studebaker at that time, and you could always tell when it was Dad because it would always be the evening. He'd have his headlights on, and one of them was cockeyed. You ever seen a car come down the road and one of the lights is looking up that way? And so we'd start yelling for Dad and headed for the front door because many times he would have candy in his pockets for us when he came home for work. And I thought that was cool when I was a little boy, but you know, as a person who's actually on the road right now, I want my headlights to be aimed in the proper direction so I can see where I'm going, and I want your headlights to be aimed in the right direction so you can see where you're going and you're not right in my eyes. And I do want everybody to know that there is somewhere in your vehicle a switch of some kind. It used to be on the floor that your left foot could hit, a button there on the floor. Now it's on a smart stick or some other kind of thing these days. It's called the bright light adjustment. Now it seems to me in Coweta County there are a number of people who are not familiar with that control. Have you ever been going down the road and all of a sudden, boom, you are just being blinded by somebody's brights? They can see where they're going, but you can't see where you're going anymore. So the headlights are important. They need to be aligned correctly so that you can have the light pointed in the direction that you need to be going on. You don't want to be lighting up the wrong thing. You don't need to light up the ditch. You don't need to light up the sky like my dad's car used to do. You don't need to be blinding the person who's coming your way. It needs to be in proper adjustment. And also they need to work. Years ago, over 30 years ago now, when I was a full-time youth minister, at the first church I served out of seminary in Maryland, kind of a suburban area of Washington, D.C. And every year we took 40, 50, 60 teenagers from our church to Ridgecrest, North Carolina for our summer camp. It was a 12-hour trip in our old 1960s school bus that we had called the Blue Goose. It was called the Blue Goose for two reasons. One, of course, when you buy an old school bus, you can't leave it yellow, so you got to paint it something. And apparently some of the guys years before had gotten out with spray cans and painted it blue. And it was called the Goose because it seemed like you needed some goosing to go on to get up the hill with it sometimes. You just jam on the accelerator and hope it makes it up to the top. Well, my job as youth minister was to drive the bus. We would leave at midnight to go because it had no air conditioning, and it was in July usually, pretty hot. So at midnight, stroke of midnight, we would leave, and that meant that most of the trip, good two-thirds of the trip, would be in darkness. Well, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning one time as I was going down the road in the Blue Goose. They'd started off real rowdy in the back, but you know, by 4 a.m., even teenagers give out of steam, and most of them were asleep. I was just going down the road, aimed on getting my group to the retreat site, and suddenly I noticed something that had just been on the periphery of my awareness for a while now. The headlights were not as bright as they had been a little while before. They were getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and I knew what was happening. The alternator had gone bad. The alternator, you know, is that thing which charges the battery and which drives all of the lights and other electrical devices in a vehicle, and the alternator was not totally dead, but it was dying. It was giving up the ghost pretty fast. And finally, about 4:30 in the morning, an hour and a half before sunrise, I had to pull over to the side of the road, shut the whole thing down, because I could not see where I was going. And when you're in a bus full of teenagers and all of those young lives are your responsibility, you do not want to go blind down I-85 at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we waited for the sun to come up, and then I woke all the kids up and said, now everybody pray that the bus will crank one more time. And it did. And we managed to just, in the new sunlight, creep our way to the campsite, and the rest of the week it was in a shop getting fixed for the ride home. But I'll never forget how scary it was to know that those lights were fading down and I was not able to see anymore. I need a good bright light to show the way, don't you? Let's look at the passage where Jesus talks about the light. You know, the Bible talks about light as a symbol of our relationship with God a whole lot, not just here, of course, but in many other places as well. But this is the passage from the Sermon on the Mount that we're focusing on today. You are the light of the world, is the first thing that Jesus says. You know, most of us are familiar in the Gospel of John with the seven great I am statements in that gospel. And one of those is, I am the light of the world. And there's no question that Jesus is the light of the world. But here he's saying, you are the light of the world. What he's saying to us is shining our light is not optional. It's not something that only the spiritual ones among us do. If you are a Christian, you have a light to shine, and shining that light is not option. You know, in the earliest days of automobiles, believe it or not, headlights were an option. You could buy a car with no headlights. As a matter of fact, the first headlights on the Model Ts and so on were kerosene lamps that were hung on the sides. Now, they did a great job of lighting things up, don't you think? But you had to get those as an option. They did not come with the base price of the Model T. Even when the electric lights came out, they were still bolt-on things that would just bolt on in front of the engine cowl, and you had to order them extra. They were special. For years, even when I was a small boy, you could tell that even in those days, the headlamps were bolted on. They weren't really a part of the vehicle so much. You could go to your local hardware store, and if you wanted another headlamp, you could buy one and add one on. Today, modern cars, the lights are integrated into the vehicle. If you were to see a modern car with its lighting system pulled out, you'd say something's not right there. It does not look right. There's a great big gaping hole that's supposed to be filled with something, and that's the lighting system. Matter of fact, the most recent ones have most all of the lights integrated into one package. So you have the low beam, the high beam, the fog light, the turn signal, and parking light all in one package. And it's all seamlessly integrated into the vehicle. That's how we are supposed to be. Our light is not a bolt-on accessory. It is an integral part of who we are. If we are the light of the world, then that light must shine. If Jesus is the light of the world and he is in us, then that light must shine. There's just no question about it. As a matter of fact, a lot of cars today, if you take a look at them, my last vehicle was this way. The default setting for the headlights was to be on day and night. Do any of y'all have a car like that right now? I kind of like that, as a matter of fact. Sometimes I will just go ahead and turn mine on because it also has a wonderful feature that tells me that they're on before I get out of the car. I've got another vehicle that doesn't happen, and you can drain your battery down fast if you forget to turn your headlights off. But the reason that they do that a lot of the cars are doing that, is because they have discovered that if you run your headlights in the daytime, you are more visible. Other drivers see you better. You're less likely to get involved in an accident caused by someone else's negligence if your headlights are on. If you're shining your light, fewer accidents will happen, in other words. We've got to shine our light, because when you are the light of the world, if your light goes off, not just you, but the world around you might just be plunged into darkness. You know, every single one of us has at least one situation in our lives, on occasion, if not on a regular basis, where you are the only intentional, committed, believing Christian person in the room or in the situation. You know what we tend to do when we get into a situation like that? We tend to hide our light. We tend to try to blend in. We go secret agent Christian, which, by the way, there's no biblical precedent for. We don't shine our light. Instead, we participate in the darkness. We cover our light over. That is not what we're supposed to do. In a dark place, our light should shine brighter. I'm not saying being obnoxious about it. I'm not saying get in someone's face about it. But I am saying there's nothing wrong with shining the light of Jesus in any and every situation. Matter of fact, it's one of the greatest things you can do to give glory to God. You can just be that person who pours oil on troubled waters in a situation. You can be a person who damps down some of the ugly and negative talk in a situation. You can be a person who takes the side of someone who's being beat up on, metaphorically or in reality. You can be a person who does what Jesus would do in whatever situation you happen to be in. And if you're the only believer there, you're the only one who can do what Jesus would do. We need to shine our light in a dark place, because if we don't, the darkness, at least for that moment, just might win. Jesus says, changing metaphors on us just to make sure we get the point, we're like a city on a hill. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Now, a city down in the valley? Yeah, you can miss that until you get to the lip and look down, and maybe even then trees or something obscure it. But when a city's on a hill, everybody sees it. It's seen from miles around. And see, Jesus was thinking about a particular city. He was thinking about Jerusalem. Every time you read about Jerusalem in the Bible, it talks about going up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was a city on a hill. You saw it from miles away. And of course, especially for the Jewish people of that day, that city was the city of God. That city was the holy city. That city was quite literally the center of the universe. And Jesus is saying, you need to be like that. You need to be like a city on a hill. You need to be unmistakable. You need to be the kind of person that people can see your light, even in a dark place, from far away. Have you ever come up on a city on a hill from a distance and you see that light glowing and shining before you ever see the city itself? We're lucky enough here to be a city on a hill, aren't we? From almost any direction you come in, you look up to see Macedonia. And I've had many people over the years, you probably have too, say, you know, I came over the crest, Buddy West Road, or I was coming up Roscoe Road, and there up on the hill was your church. We should be a city on the hill. People should know that we belong to Jesus, and to the best of our ability, we do things His way. We are His people. There should be no confusion about that, because that's what Jesus calls us to. But then Jesus shifts back again to the light metaphor. He says, not only should you be like a city on the hill, you should be like a lit lamp. And you should not put that lamp under a basket. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Now, these days, when we think about lighting a lamp, we think of a flashlight or something like that. And we think, oh, yeah, you know, if I had a flashlight and I turned it on, but then I put a bucket on top of it, I'd be in darkness. It would do no good. But that's not really what Jesus was thinking about or what his listeners were thinking about in that day. Because all the lights of that day were these clay lamps like this. It was an open flame. And all the baskets in that day were either made out of rushes, grasses, or they were made out of thin strips of wood. Do you know what happens if you put a basket over an open flame? Well, two things can happen, actually. If it's a really tight basket, then it might hold back the air enough where that light would be extinguished. It might have that light burn up all the oxygen, and then it goes out. How many of you like the idea of the light of Jesus in your life going out? I know I don't. If we hide the light of Jesus, there's a chance it'd go out. But the bigger possibility, if you put a flammable basket over an open flame like that, is it's going to catch fire and the light's going to be even bigger than it was before. You see, I believe you can't hold the Spirit of God back. I believe that you can't damp it down. You can't hide it. You can't place it into darkness. God's flame, God's fire, God's light is going to show through one way or another. And you can either cooperate by holding that lamp up, like putting it on a lampstand, or you can try to damp it down, but it will not happen. God's truth, God's light is going to shine through. You and I might get burned in the process if we're trying to hide it. Jesus says, don't try to hide your light. That just won't work out. So if Jesus is the light of the world, that's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. I believe that's what most of you here today believe as well. If Jesus is the light of the world, then now that he has ascended into heaven, you are that light, even more so than when he walked among us. On the day of his resurrection, appearing to the disciples, Jesus said to them in John 20, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. In other words, everything that I've been doing here as I've walked among you, now is your job. I'm handing it off to you. I'm handing the responsibility off to you. I'm handing the light over to you. Now you are the light of the world. So you must be that light if you are his. And even more so, we must be that light as the church, as God's people, as a gathering together of believers. One of the modern and beautiful symbols of the church gathered today is the symbol of the lighthouse. There's even any number of churches that go by that name, the Lighthouse Church. Because think of what a lighthouse is. It is a bright light that has been lifted way up, and it is set up in such a way that it lights up a 360-degree circle all around it. It warns people of dangers that are around the lighthouse. It also gives a beacon that people can point toward. We are the light of the world. A dark world, if you keep up with the news. And if we are not the light, then the world will live in darkness. That's not God's will or God's way. We must be that light. And that's why Jesus says, don't put your light under a basket, but on a lampstand, the top of a lighthouse, to give light to all who are nearby. You see, we have a commission. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's interesting to me that Jesus speaks about the light in our lives, not first about how it lights up our lives and gives us direction and lets us see the way forward. And he doesn't talk about all the many benefits of the light in our lives. First and foremost, he talks about the benefit for those who are still in the darkness. Have you ever been in a dark, dark place and then a light appears? You want to go toward that light, don't you? You want to go to where the light is. All around us there are many, many people who are walking in darkness. They may or may not be aware of it. But if they see a light in your life, they will be drawn to that light. They'll want to know, what is it about your life that's different from my life? What is it about the way that you are and the things that you believe and the things that you do? What is it that I see in you that's different? They might not even know that it's light that they're drawn toward. It's just something that they know that you have that they need. You are the light of the world. By that light, you can see the way to go. By that light, others can be drawn to Jesus. Is that who you are? Is that who you want to be? Let's pray together. Lord, we live in a world where it's hard to shine the light sometimes, where we feel like that we're exposed. If in certain situations we let our light shine, And yet you don't give us any occasions where we're to hide our light. We're to display it all the time. We're to live by your standards. We're to share your love. We're to share your compassion and your concern. We're to do things your way and to model that for other people. We should be ready in season and out of season to tell other people what Jesus means to us. We should model your will and your way day by day. We should be the light of the world. Lord, we can't do it in our own strength and by our own power. If we are trying to do it on our own, we're like a light bulb with no battery. But you can power us up, Lord. Your Spirit indwelling us can give us all the wattage we need to shine a light brightly for your glory. As we come to a time of responding to your Spirit's leading, if there's some decision we need to make in order to wipe away any obstacles or take away any hiding baskets from the light that you give us, then help us to be bold and make a decision out in public where everybody can see. Or if there's anybody here today who's never gotten the light to shine, who's never established a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then today would be a miraculous day for that to happen, a wondrous day for that to happen in somebody's life. And let them come forward and say, this is what I want. I want to be the light. I want to shine the light. I want to walk in the light. You move your will and your way through our lives, Lord. Let us be open to it in Jesus' name. Amen.